From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
The fact is, those illegal aliens are costing our economy $200 billion in depressed wages for working Americans. It is costing $50 billion a year in social and medical costs. And it's costing us, no one knows precisely how much, to incarcerate what is about a third of our prison population who are illegal aliens.
CNN anchor Lou Dobbs. Today, he joins us for the hour to talk about immigration, the 2008 presidential race, and his latest book, Independence Day. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Mimi Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. A new consensus assessment from all 16 U.S. intelligence agencies has concluded Iran shut down its nuclear weapons program more than 4 years ago. The national intelligence estimate starkly contradicts the Bush administration's claims Iran is actively pursuing a nuclear bomb. National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley announced the findings in Washington.
The IC has high confidence that Iran had a covert nuclear weapons program that it has never acknowledged and continues to deny. The intelligence community has high confidence that Iran halted its covert nuclear weapons program in the fall of 2003, and they have moderate confidence that it had not restarted that program as of mid-2007.
The assessment goes on to conclude spy agencies do not know whether Iran intends to develop nuclear weapons. It effectively rejects a national intelligence estimate 2 years ago that claimed Iran was pursuing a nuclear bomb through a secret program. The estimate also stands in stark contrast to recent language from President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney. In October, Bush warned of a World War III if Iran continues with alleged nuclear activities. According to The Washington Post, the Bush administration has maintained its threatening rhetoric despite hearing of the intelligence community's skepticism as early as July. Despite the findings, Hadley and other administration officials say they remain concerned Iran will attempt to develop a bomb. Hours before the new intelligence report was released, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad spoke at a summit of Gulf Arab states where he proposed a regional security pact.
We proposed the establishment of economic and security pacts and the institutions among the seven states here. The pact should serve the people of our region more than ever before.
The new report was released just over 5 years since the erroneous 2002 intelligence estimate that claimed Iraq possessed chemical and biological weapons and was intent on restarting its nuclear program. The report proved mostly false, but was used as the basis to drum up congressional support for war. Intelligence officials interviewed by the New York Times say the specter of the 2002 report hung over their activities. The report also comes as the UN's Weapons Inspection Agency for Iraq is preparing to close its doors. On Monday, UNMAVIC director Brian Maladi said looking back, his main regret is not having prevented a war.
My nostalgia is that if we had perhaps been more trusted by the world and the fact that we were doing a good job over there. UNSCOM had done a good job. UNSCOM destroyed more missiles than the forces did during the 1991 war. So if we'd had more trust, more people had said, yes, this is probably true, and more doubt about what the U.S. and the British position was, maybe we could have prevented a war.
The World Food Program is warning hundreds of thousands of Iraqi refugees are at risk of going hungry this winter in Syria. A recent survey found one-third of respondents skip a meal a day to feed their children. Syria is currently host to around 1.5 million Iraqi refugees. A new estimate from the Iraqi Red Crescent says just 25,000 have returned. The Iraqi government recently claimed the number coming back was double that amount. Meanwhile, Iraq's internally displaced population continues to grow. On Monday, Iraqi Red Crescent workers began resettling more than 100 families displaced following U.S. raids on the southeast town of Adwaniya.
The Americans have arrested them. They have been arrested as Americans get information about them from our neighbors and relatives. They have arrested 32 men from one neighborhood. What did those children do? My daughter asked me about her friends from our neighborhood. I'm sick, and my children are sick too, but we cannot go to the doctor. I do not know what to say.
There are an estimated 2.4 million internally displaced people inside Iraq. Meanwhile, reports continue to emerge of U.S. attacks on Iraqi civilians. Earlier today, the Pentagon said U.S. soldiers mistakenly shot five civilians traveling in a car in the town of Tarmaya, north of Baghdad. One passenger died while being taken to the hospital. Five Iraqi civilians, including a child, were killed in similar U.S. shootings last week. In Afghanistan, a new poll shows Afghan approval of U.S. forces has reached a new low. According to ABC News, 42% of Afghans rate U.S. forces positively, down from 57% last year and 68% in 2005. A record number of civilian casualties from NATO attacks last year was cited as the primary reason for the declining support. In Israel and the occupied territories, nearly 500 Palestinians were released Monday from Israeli jails. The imprisoned Fatah leader Marwan Barghouti called the move, quote, a joke. Barghouti says most of the prisoners were already nearing the end of their sentences in the coming months. Between 8 to 10,000 Palestinians remain imprisoned by Israel. In Russia, international observers are crying foul on Sunday's sweeping parliamentary victory for President Vladimir Putin's political party. Official results gave United Russia 64% of the vote. On Monday, Goran Lenmarker of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe rejected the result.
Could I first say that our central conclusion is that these elections failed to meet many of the commitments and standards that we have in the OSCE and the Council of Europe. And by that, it is not, as we say, not a fair election.
The parliamentary victory is expected to help Putin maintain wide influence over Russian politics after he steps down next year. Here in the United States, the right-wing radio talk show host Michael Savage is suing an Islamic advocacy group for excerpting portions of his show in which he called the Quran a book of hate. The Council on American Islamic Relations highlighted Savage's remarks in a letter-writing campaign to advertisers. The Iraq War architect and ousted World Bank president Paul Wolfowitz is reportedly close to returning to the Bush administration. Newsweek magazine reports Wolfowitz has been offered a position as chair of the State Department's International Security Advisory Board. The panel advises Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice on issues including nuclear proliferation and weapons of mass destruction. As Deputy Defense Secretary, Wolfowitz was one of the key backers of the faulty WMD allegations that led to the Iraq War. In media news, the Rupert Murdoch-owned Fox News Network has refused to run an ad criticizing President Bush over the use of extraordinary rendition, torture, and denying habeas corpus. The commercial was produced by the Center for Constitutional Rights and features narration of actor Danny Glover.
Some of these individuals are taken to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
And have a fairly robust interrogation program without torture.
The Constitution doesn't say every citizen is hereby granted the right to habeas. It doesn't say that.
The United States does not torture. It's against our laws and it's against our values.
The trials, renditions, torture. The Bush administration is destroying the Constitution. They can be stopped. Rescue the Constitution.
The Center for Constitutional Rights submitted the ad ahead of Wednesday's scheduled Supreme Court hearing in the case of two Guantanamo prisoners challenging their detentions. And in Louisiana, the Gina 6 defendant Michael Bell has reached a plea deal with prosecutors. Bell will get an 18-month sentence to a juvenile prison and receive credit for time served. He's expected to be released by June. Bell's attorneys say they accepted the deal to spare him the risk of a conviction on more serious charges. The prosecutor and judge in the case have been accused of leading an overzealous campaign against Bell and five other black teens for a schoolyard fight that left a white student injured. The fight occurred several months after white students hung nooses from a tree under which black students dared to sit. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
And welcome to all of our listeners and viewers around the country and around the world. CNN anchor Lou Dobbs may be the most important person in the 2008 presidential election, aside from the candidates themselves. That's the opening line of a recent column by Christopher Gasek on the website Political. Gasek goes on to write, quote, "The bundle of concerns that Dobbs and his audience have about globalization, trade, diminished American sovereignty, and immigration will be ignored by politicians at their own peril." As anchor and managing editor of the show Lou Dobbs Tonight, Dobbs has used his nightly program on CNN to help make immigration one of the most discussed issues of the 2008 campaign. Dobbs describes himself as an independent populist. He titled his latest book Independence Day, Awakening the American Spirit. His previous book was titled War on the Middle Class, How the Government, Big Business, and Special Interest Groups Are Waging War on the American Dream and How to Fight Back.
Lou Dobbs also has his detractors, especially when it comes to immigration. He's been called the most influential spokesperson for the anti-immigration movement, and he's been accused of being a fearmonger who vilifies immigrants and promotes xenophobia. But Lou Dobbs' message has struck a chord with many viewers. Lou Dobbs Tonight is the second most watched program on CNN, and there's even talk that Dobbs might make a possible run for the White House. Wall Street Journal columnist John Fund reported last month friends of Dobbs say he's seriously contemplating running for president as an independent. Lou Dobbs joins us today in our Firehouse studio for the hour. Welcome to Democracy Now!
Great to be with you.
Are you running?
Absolutely not. It's the last thing I could imagine. If I were a candidate, I can assure both of you that it would be the candidate of last resort in this country. That's about 300 million people in line ahead of me.
Well, you've written the book Independence Day. That's with a T-S at the end of independence. What is the main thesis of this book?
The main thesis is that both political parties, the Republican Party, Democratic Party, have failed the American people, have rather than held up our essential fundamental national values as the standard to which all of our public policies should repair, has submerged them in trivia, wedge issues, and partisan blather and nonsense that is ultimately destructive to the American dream.
What do you think are the most important issues today?
The most important issue in this country today is representation of the American people in Washington, D.C., which is being denied right now by corporate America, special interests, group and identity politics that are submerging the will of the majority in this country. The fundamental tenet of any democracy is representation of the will of the majority, and that is being denied through elitists in both business and government and politics. And we have to fundamentally examine where we are and where we want to be going over the course of this next century. And that is not happening, not in the presidential campaigns of both parties. It's not happening in Washington, D.C., even though we have a government in which the Democratic Party is leading the Congress and the Republican Party the White House.
Now, Lou, you've been well-known for years now, especially dealing with the issue of American corporations exporting jobs and criticizing that whole process of exporting American
Sure.
jobs overseas. But also the criticism that, as I've seen it, is oftentimes does not deal with the impact so much of what this globalization on those countries themselves. In other words, you criticize NAFTA for sending so many jobs overseas, but not with the impact so much that it's having on Mexico and on these other countries that are the other end of this free trade.
Well, that may be because I'm a television journalist, limited in my intellect as well as my time.
On this show, we don't have commercials, so we have a lot of time to get into the issues.
The reality is that, of course, NAFTA is, in my judgment, at least deleterious to the interest of the Mexican people and to the state of Mexico. One only has to look at the empty villages in particularly southern Mexico to examine the impact of the agricultural policies within NAFTA. One only has to look at the Macadoras across northern Mexico to see the impact on a society that is already 50% impoverished, education levels still where they were 30 years ago in Mexico. But my perspective is an American one, and I won't presume to speak for Mexico as Felipe Calderon does presume to speak to the United States for Americans and American policy. The reality is that NAFTA doesn't work for this country. It doesn't work for Mexico. But I am not one of those people, as Amy was talking about my detractors. The suggestion I'm anti-immigrant, for example, is absurd. I would support an increase in lawful immigration and have said so repeatedly and have no problem whatsoever with current levels of immigration, which, by the way, are the highest levels of immigration in the world. In fact, more than the rest of the world combined. We bring in more than 2 million people. But the issue is one that the United States does not have a foreign policy toward Mexico. We're paternalistic and condescending toward Mexico in our dealings with Mexico, both corporately and politically. It's time for that to change.
In the beginning of the broadcast, we played a clip of you talking about various concerns that you have around immigrants. The last part of that clip, and maybe
illegal,
we can play
illegal
it again.
Immigrants, if I may, Amy.
Illegal immigrants. Maybe we can play a last part of this clip that we played, just to go through it again. Mm-hmm. We'll see if our folks have that clip ready. And this is the clip that we played in the billboard.
Well, I can recall what was said, if it's at all helpful. I said that, according to a study, I didn't use the attribution, but according to a study that Jorge Barajas at Harvard University had completed, that the cost of excess immigration into this country amounts to $200 billion a year in wages, that the cost of incarceration, medical care, social services approximates $50 billion in this country per year. And the reality is that about a third of the crimes that are of those in state prisons, federal prisons, excuse me, are of those who are in this country illegally.
Let's play it, and then let's talk about it.
Let's say the number is 11 million, although some studies put the number as high as 20 million illegal aliens in this country. That not only amounts to a shift of 6 to 10 congressional seats among the states based on the population of illegal immigration. The fact is, those illegal aliens are costing our economy $200 billion in depressed wages for working Americans. It is costing $50 billion a year in social and medical costs. And it's costing us, no one knows precisely how much, to incarcerate what is about a third of our prison population who are illegal aliens.
So, Lou, you said a third of the prison population are illegal aliens. The fact is, it's something like 6% of prisoners in this country are non-citizens, not even illegal, just non-citizens. And then a percentage of that would not be documented.
So, well, it's actually 20, I think it's 26% in federal prison.
But you said of all prisoners.
I said about, yes, but I misspoke without question. I was referring to federal prisoners.
But you didn't say that, and so it leaves people with the impression.
I just explained it to you.
But you have a very large audience.
I have a very large audience and a very bright audience.
And you told them that a third of the population of this country are illegal immigrants. 6%, which is under the population of immigrants in this country of prisoners.
In state prisons.
No, 6% overall are immigrants. You said 30%
Well,
are
I think we
illegal.
We could sit here and say this all day, Amy. The fact is, the number is 26% in federal prisons. That's what I was referring to. I misspoke when I said prisons. I was referring to the federal prisons because that's the federal crime, immigration.
Have you made a correction on your show to say
that
30%?
Sure, absolutely.
We didn't.
Do you know
say
how
it.
Many reports we've done on illegal immigration in this country?
Yes, many.
Oh, I mean, my God.
Yeah, but I'd like to get into this issue. I mean, aside from the fact that the GAO report—
Excuse me, just one second.
Sure.
I mean, what if I were to sit here and just hound you because you said I was anti-immigrant, when I'm, point of fact, I'm anti-illegal immigrant, and it's absolutely a matter of fact. We could quarrel over the terminology if you want, but why should people of good faith and intelligence sit there and be so
We agree on that, but this is precisely the lumping of illegal or undocumented immigrants and legal immigrants in one category. That's a problem because, for instance,
I agree with you.
The total percentage of the non-citizen population of the United States right now is about 35 million, 12% of the population.
Do you know this?
Well, this is Census Bureau stuff.
Let me finish, Lou. I was laughing about the NIE because, as you heard Steve Hadley talk about high confidence levels in those estimates.
Right, but let me.
What do you suppose the confidence level is of the United States government in the number of people in this country illegally?
We're assuming now that the legal population is pretty well documented, right? But the
Documented, undocumented.
The legal immigrant population is pretty well documented. It's about 23 million. And then you add maybe another 11 to 12 million of the undocumented population, you get 35 million. My point is this. If 12% of the non-citizen population of the United States non-citizens comprise 12% of the population. They comprise 6% of the prison population. That suggests to me that crime rates are far lower among non-citizen immigrants, legal and illegal, than they are among the general population of the United States.
Yet
you've raised the issue of crime. You've raised the issue of crime in relationship to immigrants.
Silly me. MS-13, all sorts of gangs. You know, the fact that Mexico is the largest source of methamphetamines, heroin, cocaine, marijuana entering the United States. Silly me for bringing up crime.
But may I ask you a question?
May I ask this question?
May I ask this question? That facts matter.
Of course they do. Absolutely. I'm an empiricist to the bone.
And so if 6% of prisoners are immigrants, documented and undocumented, and you said 30% of prisoners, a third of the population of prisons in this country are prisoners. It conveys a very different sense. And as you've pointed out, you've done hundreds of shows on these issues. And that reinforces the feeling that people have who watch the show.
So your point is?
Either they believe you or either they don't believe you or they believe you and are being fed wrong information.
I think it's important for all of us because, as you say, we're all interested in the facts. So let me ask both of you, please, a question that seeks a fact. Does the United States government and do state governments inquire of their prisoners as to whether they are legal or illegal, and can they under the law? Or are these estimates that we're talking about?
Well, if the government doesn't know, how do you know?
No, that's a straightforward question.
How do you know?
Because in the federal prisons, they are permitted to make a decision as to whether or not they can ask if they're citizens or non-citizens, but cannot ask if they're legal or illegal. So it is at best a projection. When Juan says 11 million to 12 million illegal aliens, you and I both know that the Bear Stearns study suggests 20 million people. There is no one in this country today. That's why I refer to the National Intelligence.
And the Bear Stearns study has been critiqued over and over again by the top economists.
Oh, come on.
Bear Stearns study saying it is wildly exaggerated.
The National Intelligence estimate is closer probably on Iran today than it is on the makeup of the U.S. population today. I mean, if you want to talk about this nonsense, I mean,
well,
that's what it is.
Well, let's go to break, and we'll come back.
Sure.
Our guest is Lou Dobbs. He is the well-known anchor of CNN, Lou Dobbs Tonight, and has written a new book called Independence Day. We'll be back with him in a minute.
Muchas cosas muy tristes pasan a diario. En la frontera de México y Estados Unidos, la raza que va en busca del sueño americano tiene que enfrentarse con la misión de los polleros que los tranzan y los atracan y los extorsionan. Y con tal de ganarse una lana, no les importa vender a los de su propia raza. Muchas cosas muy tristes pasan a diario.
Sueño Americano, American Dream by El Tri. Here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report, I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Our guest for the hour is Lou Dobbs, well known as the CNN anchor of Lou Dobbs Tonight. In May, the New York Times published a critical article about you, Lou. It was called Truth, Fiction, and Lou Dobbs. Columnist David Leonhardt wrote, quote, Mr. Dobbs has a somewhat flexible relationship with reality. Leonhardt highlighted this profile about you that aired on CBS's 60 Minutes.
One of the issues he tackles relentlessly is illegal immigration. And on that, his critics say his advocacy can get in the way of the facts.
Tuberculosis, leprosy, malaria.
Following a report on illegals carrying diseases into the U.S., one of the correspondents on his show, Christine Romans, told Dobbs that there have been 7,000 cases of leprosy in the U.S. in the past 3 years.
Leprosy in this country.
Incredible.
We checked that and found a report issued by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services saying 7,000 is the number of leprosy cases over the last 30 years, not the past three. And nobody knows how many of those cases involve illegal immigrants.
Now, we went to try and check that number, 7,000. We can't, just
so you
know.
Well, I can tell you this. If we reported it, it's a fact.
You can't tell me that. You did.
Well, no, I just did.
How can you guarantee that to me?
Because I'm the managing editor, and that's the way we do business. We don't make up numbers, Leslie, do we?
A day after the 60 Minutes report aired, Lou Dobbs discussed the issue on his program with his reporter, the CNN reporter, Christine Romans.
And there was a question about some of your comments, Christine, following one of your reports. I told Leslie Stahl, we don't make up numbers, and I will tell everybody here again tonight, I stand 100% behind what you said.
That's right, Lou. We don't make up numbers here. This is what we reported. We reported, it's interesting, because the woman in our piece told us that there were about 900 cases of leprosy for 40 years. There have been 7,000 in the past 3 years, leprosy in this country. I was quoting Dr. Madeline Cosman, a respected medical lawyer and medical historian, writing in the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons. She said, Hansen's disease, that's the other modern name, I guess, for leprosy. Hansen's disease was so rare in America that in 40 years, only 900 people were afflicted. Suddenly, in the past 3 years, America has more than 7,000 cases of leprosy. Lou?
It's remarkable that this whatever confusion or confoundment over 7,000 cases. They actually keep a registry of cases of leprosy. And the fact that it rose was because of, one assumes, because we don't know for sure, but two basic influences. Unscreened illegal immigrants coming into this country primarily from South Asia, and the secondly, far better reporting.
That's what Dr. Cosman told us, Lou.
And, you know, in talking with a number of people, it's also very clear, no one knows, but nearly everyone suspects there are far more cases of that. It is also, I think, interesting and I think important to say, one of the reasons we screen people coming into this country is to deal with communicable diseases like leprosy, tuberculosis. The fact is, if we would just screen successfully, all of those diseases can be treated effectively, efficiently, and relatively quickly.
And that's what
That's Lou Dobbs on the show. The source behind the claim that there was a spike of 7,000 new cases of leprosy was a controversial medical attorney named Madeline Cosman. In 2005, she described undocumented immigrants as, quote, deadly time bombs because of the diseases they bring into the country. Cosman, who died last year, has also been criticized for these comments she made about Mexican men.
Recognize that most of these bastards molest girls under age 12, some as young as age 5, others age 3, although, of course, some specialize in boys, some specialize in nuns, some are exceedingly versatile and rape little girls age 11 and women up to age 79. What is important here is the psychiatric defenses. Why do they do what they do? They do not need a jail. They need a hospital. They are depraved because they were deprived in their home country, but more important is the cultural defense. They suffer from psychiatric cognitive disjuncture. For what does a poor man do if in his home country of Mexico, in his jurisdiction, if rape is ranked lower than cow stealing? Of course, he will not know how to behave here in strange America. This is thoroughly reprehensible.
Madeline Kosman, that's her quote. She actually is not a medical doctor. She's a Renaissance author and scholar of sorts, Lou Dobbs.
What would you have me say, Amy? Because what the reality is, what you don't say, is that Lanhart's piece was filled with errors. Secondly, Madeline Kosman, as we learned following that report in Physicians and Surgeons, the publication, is precisely what you styled her. She is a whack, or was a whack job. But the New York Times didn't know that either. If you would read the obituary for Madeline Kosman in the New York Times, have you done that, by the way? She died a year ago, which was, by the way, a year after we had used her as a source in a report, along with other people. Did you read that obituary? Did you find that the New York Times had come to basically the same conclusion we had, that she was a credible source? Because if you read that obituary, it is glowing and filled with plaudits for Madeline Kosman.
The issue is that we as journalists all have our own responsibility.
To go through this and try to convey that this is a body of work. I spoke for 8 seconds after that report on tuberculosis and the screening of illegal immigrants into this country. For 8 seconds. And you're trying to project this as if it is a reflective of a body of work. And that, I think, is, no, I think, no, but look, I would the, hope the that issue, you would be embarrassed by that.
You're the managing director of your show.
And let me ask you a question. How many people are on the registry for Hansen's disease in this country?
7,000 total.
It's over 7,000.
For 30 years.
Absolutely. In the last three years because of illegal immigration. Did I say because of illegal immigration?
Yes.
I said no one knows, but one assumes primarily because they're not being screened. That's what the doctors at the Hansen Centers were telling us. Secondly, the issue of if you want to explode 8 seconds into a whole body of discussion, fine. The reality is, I think you would agree, that if we were screening illegal immigrants as well as legal immigrants, we would probably have a heck of a lot less in the way of tuberculosis in this country. And Hansen's disease.
Okay, Lou, I'd like to get into, take this in a much deeper perspective than just a particular fact. Right? Because I've been very concerned about the lack of historical understanding of the immigration battles in our country. Mm-hmm. Going back to the Irish in the 1840s, mm-hmm. Father Joseph Fitzpatrick, who was a wonderful sociologist at Fordham University, mm-hmm. Once did a study of the criminal populations in New York City in 1859 mm-hmm. concluded that 83% of all the criminal convictions in 1859 in New York City were Irish. Mm-hmm. Were Irish, not Canadian, Scotch, English, or Germans, or the other bulk of the population in New York at the time, but were Irish. Right? Henry McLaughlin.
What in the world is your point?
Well, I'm getting to my point. But give me the time to do it. Right? We have time on this show. Unlike we don't do sound bites here. Right?
Representative journalism.
Henry McLaughlin, Lou, was the guy who was the main consultant to the U.S. Congress in developing the immigration restriction laws of the 1920s. A eugenicist who, interestingly enough, examined the facts. High crime rates among the immigrant population in the 1920s, tuberculosis, disease, drunkenness, and these were the reasons his studies of the population, the immigrant population, were the basis upon which Congress decided on its restrictive laws to limit the number of Southern Europeans, of Jews, and of other nationalities that were coming into the country at the time. My point is that the issue of crime and the issue of disease has always been attempted by those who want to restrict immigration, right? But identified with the immigrant population coming into the country.
You're smarter than this. You know, you're better than this.
You're doing the same thing that Henry Lachlan did in the 1920s, and the same thing that was done against the Irish in the 1850s.
You should look into that camera and say you apologize for trying to mislead people purposefully. The reality is this. Have you ever once heard me say anything other than I have the greatest respect for illegal immigrants in this country? Illegal immigrants. Forget immigrants. Illegal. Have you ever heard me say anything other than that? Have you ever heard me say anything other than I believe that the illegal alien in this entire mess is the only rational actor? Have you ever heard me say that? Have you ever read the transcripts of my broadcast?
Yes, I recorded a few of your transcripts. Not all of them. I have to confess.
Would you like to tell me? Have you ever heard me say anything other than that?
Have you ever heard me say that I want to have immigration restricted? I mean, my God, man, do you have any sense of fidelity to the reality?
Yes, I do. And
how in the world can you use my name and anti-immigrant in the same breath?
When we hear comments like a third of the from you, we've played them, so we can't refute the videotape. Look, we can't refute a third of prisoners.
Yes, and have we discussed that?
Are illegal immigrants?
Have we discussed
it? A third of prisoners are illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. Not true. 7,000 leprosy cases in the last 3 years because of illegal immigrants.
Christine Romans misspoke.
Not true.
We said that, and that's as straightforward as we can put it.
And you made an announcement on your show.
Absolutely.
And you will say it here. That
absolutely.
It is not true. Illegal immigrants are not responsible for 7,000 cases of leprosy over the last 3 years.
Not over the last 3 years. But, but the likelihood is that illegal immigrants are responsible because they are the ones who brought Hansen's disease.
The likelihood, based on what, Lou?
Based on doctors at the Hansen Center.
Nope.
Who said that, listen to me. Hansen's, I mean, if you guys are just ridiculous in your loss of proportion here. You're talking about one report, but if you want to talk about it, tuberculosis and Hansen's disease are both screened, and they are so similar in the symptoms and their presentation that doctors look for that in the screening, without question.
But as you agree now, you're formally apologizing for having a presentation on your show and then backing it up.
Wait,
this is not just one show.
Referring to 3 years, okay?
So you're saying that illegal immigrants have caused 7,000 cases of leprosy over 30 years?
No, I'm saying the likelihood is that those cases of Hansen's disease are, according to the doctors at the Hansen Center, most likely as a result of illegal immigration. Because
you know
they're not being screened.
You know
why
the fear.
Contend this?
Well, the reason,
How about tuberculosis?
Does that concern you? Let me just say something.
Right.
The reason we're raising these issues is not any one particular
You're
case, though I think facts
matter.
You're
more focus to this issue. We put one report, 8 seconds, and you are giving an entire broadcast
to
this.
No, it is well more than 8 seconds, but I want to make a point here. Even when you were called on it by 60 Minutes, they played a clip.
Right.
You came back the next day,
right,
and you continued this fallacy. But the issue is we're raising different issues in different spheres of American life, prisons, disease. And in each of these cases, what many people are concerned about, what you're doing, because there is no question, Lou Dobbs, you are extremely influential in this country. You are a key part of driving the debate on immigration.
Right.
And so I think it is important to be accurate, to start there.
Yeah, but I think we should...
Has you ever made a mistake on this broadcast, Amy?
Yes.
How many would you say?
I would say that each time it's pointed out, we try to apologize.
So do we.
And we try to correct the record.
And the issue is, for me, the 7,000 cases, as soon as I understood the issue was the 3 years versus 30 years, I mean, to me it was...
That's not minor.
To me, it frankly was of no interest. The issue was 7,000 cases on the registry at Hansen's. That was the issue I was responding to. When I understood fully the three-year thing, I mean, to me, the idea was whether the registry had been brought up to date or not. No one in their right mind thought that, in, you know, a year or whatever, that 1,000 cases had been created.
Well, I'd like to move on. I want to play a report from your show covering former Mexican President Vicente Fox's May 2000 visit to the United States. Your reporter, Casey Wien, described the visit as a, quote, Mexican military incursion. This aired on May 23, 2006.
This Mexican military incursion was fully authorized. A Mexican Air Force jet carrying President Vicente Fox, who was not just invited to Utah, but encouraged to visit by Governor John Huntsman.
We fully support the businessmen from Utah and Mexico.
It's estimated Utah has about 100,000 illegal aliens, and the number is growing rapidly. Utah is also part of the territory some militant Latino activists refer to as Aztlan, the portion of the southwest United States they claim rightfully belongs to Mexico. You could call this the Vicente Fox Aztlan tour, since the three states he'll visit, Utah, Washington, and California, are all part of some radical group's vision of the mythical indigenous homeland. Lou?
Casey, thank you very much.
The Southern Poverty Law Center criticized CNN for airing that report, in part because, as your reporter, Casey Wien, spoke, a graphic appeared on the screen. It was a map of the United States highlighting the 7 southwestern states that Mexico supposedly covets and calls Aztlan. The map was prominently sourced to the Council of Conservative Citizens, which is considered by many to be a white supremacist hate group.
Your response?
You know the response and you know the reality. How long was that screen up? How long was that map up?
The
field producer, did you know it was from the CCC, which is a hate group?
It's attributed right there. Right. It says. Right. Sent.
And it could be clear, could it? I mean, we weren't hiding anything. We had no idea what they were. The field producer who used it went on this web, did a grab, as it's called, and put it up. And she was suspended for a day for doing so. Did you guys know that we have sent our producers and our reporters down to the Southern Poverty Law Center years ago to make certain this sort of thing doesn't happen? That's how seriously we take the issue. And for you to talk about the incursion, you forgot to point out that that was coming out a rather jocular discussion of the incursions by Mexican forces along the border and the response of the U.S. government. But are you
Lou,
offended?
Did you say you have no idea what the Council on Conservative Citizens is?
Did I say I don't?
Yes.
I certainly do now. Absolutely.
With
what did I say? You didn't hear what I just said?
I just
They're acknowledged as a hate group. Absolutely.
See, but the problem is this.
What is the problem here?
Projecting the image to your viewers that there's a Mexican desire to reconquer the reconquista of the southwestern United States does create images, and especially in people who are not necessarily as intelligent as you necessarily, who have studied as much as you have, that the country is under siege.
Are you so self-important that you don't think people have a sense of humor when Casey Wyand says this is an authorized incursion by the Mexican government? You don't think people have a sense of humor about that? The reality is, I think most people do. The other thing is, who are you trying to protect America from? I'm a little confused, because the reality is that there is a strong radical group of reconquistas and Aztlan aficionados, and I have had them demonstrating against me in a couple of cities over the past few weeks. Don't sit here being disingenuous and sanctimonious, because let me tell you something.
I'm not
there
being
is many idiots on either extreme of this debate, and don't kid yourself.
But Lou, I think what's important once again is the pattern. It's the pattern. Let me make my point, because
The pattern is, for 5 years we've been reporting on illegal immigration. The pattern is that we have been reporting on the impact of illegal immigration. It doesn't suit your partisan views, and that's understandable, or your ideological views. But don't get carried away with yourselves, for crying out loud.
Okay, Lou, let's talk about some of the guests you've had on your show.
Sure.
For example, Barbara Koh, leader of the California Coalition for Immigration Reform.
She's not a guest. You're reading from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Just
one
second.
She was not a guest.
I am going to look. As you said, you actually felt that the Southern Poverty Law Center was so important in getting information that you sent your producers down there to get information so that you wouldn't represent hate groups on the air.
They're nothing but a fundraising organization,
and
they're indulging in pure BS, and so are you when you quote them.
Let me just talk about some of the guests that you have had on.
Sure, they're not guests. Barbara Koh was never a guest.
No, she was quoted on the show, bitterly attacking Home Depot for betraying Americans, apparently because Hispanic day laborers often gather in front of the store looking for work. Not mentioned were her group, listed by the Southern Poverty Leadership Council as a hate group, or the fact that she routinely refers to Mexicans as savages. Koh recently described herself as a member of the Council of Conservative Citizens, the white pride group formed from the remnants of the segregationist White Citizens Council of the 50s and 60s, which Thurgood Marshall called the Uptown Klan.
My God, Amy, what year was that on our broadcast? What year?
Not clear. You can tell me what year was on the broadcast.
Well, actually, I can't, but it was years ago. And it was before we knew what the heck was going on.
I'm going to talk about a few other people.
Sure.
Glenn Spencer, head of the Anti-Immigration American Patrol, has been interviewed at least twice on the show in 2004, maybe many more times after, I don't know. Spencer's website is jammed with anti-Mexican vitriol. He pushes the idea the Mexican government is involved in a secret plot to take over the Southwest, facts never mentioned on your show. His group is recorded as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League. Spencer has spoken
really
at least twice to the White Supremacist Council of Conservative Citizens.
I have no knowledge of this fellow. I have no idea, and you're not telling me when he was on the broadcast. I did not have
January
him on the show. He was quoted. He was either quoted in a piece.
No, Lou. On January 7th, 2004, and June 4th, 2004, he was interviewed on your broadcast.
He was not on our broadcast. He may have been in a field report. He was not on our broadcast. And, Amy, let me ask you a question. Have you checked to see how many guests we've had on our show in the course of, what is that,
You have had many.
3.5 years? No,
You've
I mean,
had many.
Let's get a number. What do you think? Why are you focusing on two or three?
I can go on.
How
but
many?
I think the important
Give us a
point
total.
Here.
Give us a total of the number of guests you object to.
Lou, I just want to say something here. You just said to Juan, can he take a joke when you talk about mm-hmm. the incursion, Mexico taking over the United States?
No,
yet it is a growing theme. It is a continuing thread in your broadcast. This guy, Glenn Spencer, whether he said this on your show or not, has not mentioned his ties to America.
I'm supposed to be responsible for what he says off my broadcast?
No, you should know that he was tied to American Renaissance, the group that says blacks are genetically inferior to whites. Mm-hmm. You didn't report those ties or mention Spencer's more wild-eyed contentions, such as his prediction that thousands will die in a supposedly forthcoming Mexican
You're giving
invasion.
Glenn Spencer and other detestable people who would make such comments of that more airtime than anybody.
But Lou, let me make a final point.
Go back and look at the quotes.
Let me make a final point.
Who's giving me more airtime?
You. Your colleague, Wolf Blitzer,
yeah.
on the other hand, also featured Spencer on his own show, but reported Mexico's official response mm-hmm. that SPLC, Southern Poverty Leadership Council's hate group designation, said that he was a member of a hate group mm-hmm. as designated by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
So what year was that?
What I'm saying is that Wolf Blitzer identified him, you did not.
What year?
Well, I just know when you had him on your show, and you may have had him on since then.
Do you know when Wolf Blitzer had him?
Well, soon after that, I suppose.
Okay.
I don't know.
After we found out.
But you know what the fact is? I don't know. And I admit when I don't know, and I try to get my facts straight.
Sure.
Another guest that you've had on the show. Now, this is a very important point, and this is one that you would agree that you've covered, and that is Arizona. This is very important, the Protect Arizona Now referendum. In late 2004, it was revealed that the new head of the National Advisory Board to Protect Arizona Now, an anti-immigration organization, was a longtime white supremacist who was also an editorial advisor to the racist Council of Conservative Citizens. Although Virginia Abernathy's controversial selection was reported prominently in virtually every Arizona paper, and despite the fact that Lou Dobbs heavily covered the anti-immigration referendum that Protect Arizona Now was advocating, you never mentioned the affair at all, her controversial selection as head of this group.
And she was featured in how many reports?
The point is, you covered Protect Arizona Now extensively, and this is certainly significant when it turns out that the head of the board of Protect Arizona Now is...
When was the last time she was on the show?
No, the important point is you didn't report the news of this very controversial racist woman who headed Protect Arizona Now, which was virtually in every Arizona paper. The question is what you report and what you don't.
Concurrent with our reporting?
Yeah, of course. This is in 2004. The point is what you report, Lou, and what you don't report.
Well, you know, Amy, I don't know what to tell you because, you know, based on your focus here today, you have focused on probably three or four reports, as best I can figure, out of more than 5 years of reporting on the issue. If that smacks at all to you of reasonable, proportionate journalism on your part, I mean, God bless you. If that's what you believe, God bless you. But I think you're coming from an ideological position that has just absolutely skewed that perception and that perspective.
I admit my ideological position, mm-hmm. which is that I think that the Council of Conservative Citizens is a racist group, and it's problematic not
and
to identify guests that you have on your show
and absolutely
that
fallible
are connected
human being.
With this
Unfortunately,
group.
I am fallible, and I am a man who has made some mistakes. But the reality is the body of work stands for itself, and you know that. And the reality is the facts are irresistible. Illegal immigration into this country is absolutely not in the American interest. And that is a reality you're going to have to contend with.
Lou, that fact is not clear. First of all—
Not to you.
Exactly. And I have a different perspective on that, so you'll indulge me.
Sure.
But the fact is that immigration policy in this country has always been a means of rallying anger among the public. Yes, it has.
Nonsense.
Lou, let me finish. Let me finish, Lou, please.
Ridiculous. All right, go ahead.
The Chinese.
In 1882, the Chinese Exclusion Act, what was the claim against the Chinese? Small population of Chinese immigrants. The claim was that they were involved in drugs, that they were bringing crime, that they were a danger to the country, and the country passed in 1882 a Chinese Exclusion Act. The same thing in the 1920s.
Are you holding me responsible? Or
no, what I'm telling you is that this has been done over and over again. This has been done over and over again.
What? According
precisely,
to you...
Let me finish, Lou. Precisely because the country is an immigrant nation. It's easy to divide the people along ethnic and racial lines over the issue of immigration.
You're the only one doing that.
No, I'm not.
You're socio-ethnocentric.
You know very well that 75% of the undocumented immigrant population in this country comes from Latin America. And not only that, 65% comes from one country, Mexico.
That's right.
So the crux of the illegal immigration problem in the United States is the question of Mexico and the United States and the
correct
relationships between Mexico and the United States. Mexicans are the largest source of immigration to this country from any nationality.
What is your point?
So that the question is that there is a huge disparity between the economic levels in Mexico and the economic levels in the United States. And you have properly said many times on your show that American companies are creating the problems rather than helping to alleviate the problems. Mm-hmm. All that would be needed to do is to raise the economic level in Mexico, and the entire illegal immigration population problems would decline in this country. And not only that, but the country, if it had a higher immigration quota,
are you giving me instruction, or are you telling me what we agree upon?
No, we don't agree. We don't agree because you are demonizing illegal immigration as a separate issue rather than dealing with the reality is that Mexico and the United States must find a way to build better, closer economic ties and raise the levels for both countries.
As I take it, you and Amy believe that if we just had more illegal immigration, the crime rate would drop. The economy would boom in this country.
No.
That's on its face absurd.
No.
Secondly, I have over 5 years in reporting on this issue repeatedly pointed out that the investment in Mexico by the United States has been paltry and absurd and diverted to China instead of to this hemisphere, and particularly Mexico. The results could have been quite different. So when you talked about these issues, you're preaching to the choir, and you know that. The fact that you would focus on a couple of reports on tuberculosis, leprosy, the issue of the CCC in a flash, what amounts to a flash frame. Folks.
And all the guests connected.
And
to it
all
since.
Of those guests. How many would you say? Five?
Oh, I can keep going. I should give someone else a chance here to have it.
No, I think you should keep going, because the reality is illegal immigration in this country is not going to be overwhelmed by this nonsense. The reality is the Southern Poverty Law Center is an advocacy group right now. The ADL is an advocacy group right now, pro-illegal immigration, pro-open borders, both of you ideologically. I understand that, and I can deal with that. But the reality is there is such a thing as the national interest. There is such a thing as the common good. And it's not ethnocentric. It's not group and identity politics. It's all about this country, because this political system makes this economy possible. And the fact that people are starving in Mexico, and my heart goes out to them, the reality is there are 5.5 billion people in the world who are more impoverished than those folks in Mexico. And that land bridge does not give Felipe Calderon or Vicente Fox or any other group of activists the right to dictate to U.S. immigration policy. That's the reality.
Let me ask you about national sovereignty in a moment. But first, I want to turn to an excerpt of your show from August 22nd.
This year?
This year.
All right.
Just one day after President Bush signed legislation here in Washington to build a border fence, the government of Mexico is threatening the sovereignty and national security of the United States. President Vicente Fox and President-elect Felipe Calderon are both asserting that the United States has no right to build such a fence along our southern border. At the same time, the White House and its allies in corporate America appear determined to create a new North American Union incorporating Canada, Mexico, and the United States. Such a union would, in effect, create a giant nation.
Lou Dobbs, August 22nd, 2007.
Sure. Juan? Well, this concept of a giant nation, could you expound on that?
the North American Union? Well, yes. You're coming from the 2005 meeting with Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister of Canada, Vicente Fox, and the President of Mexico, and George W. Bush. I'm sure you're still delighted to know he's President of the United States. Met and laid out the foundation through the Security and Prosperity Partnership. What has ensued since then? There have been a number of high-level meetings. Military, business, and governmental leaders, all of which have been closed to the press, and all toward harmonizing, if you will, relations between the two, and diminishing the border and the encumbrances to commerce, moving straight ahead.
Just to be clear, it could have been 2006, that report, so I want to be factually accurate. It was either this year or last year.
Well, I forgive you no matter what
it was.
But
let me give you one more clip, and that is around the issue of the Minutemen.
Sure.
This was the Minutemen Project, organizers calling their effort a peaceful protest over the government's failure to secure its borders. Both the Mexican government and Bush administration have described the Minutemen as vigilantes. You have been a vocal supporter.
I just want to be clear to the journal and to this audience. I support the Minuteman Project and the fine Americans who make it up and all they've accomplished fully, relentlessly, and proudly.
That's you, Lou. Bill Parmley, a Minuteman leader in Goliad County, Texas, quit the group because of what he described widespread racism. Another Texas Minuteman, Janet Ahrens, had resigned because members, she said, wanted to shoot the taco meat. You never mentioned either of these people. Why not talk about these people quitting because they're concerned about how racist this group is?
Well, frankly, I didn't know about it. I don't think it's what makes them so newsworthy. And secondly, the reality is the president called the Minutemen vigilantes immediately after they were formed. The idea that I would support volunteerism and the nature of the call to security on the border, I hope doesn't stun you too much, because the reality, again, is that there has never been an incident of violence involving the Minutemen organization. Period. Do you want to take note of that?
Are you concerned with, among others, one of the founders of the Minutemen being found with a gun patrolling the border, issues like these? This is of concern when there are so many immigrants who are found in the desert dead. Not clear why.
Oh, are you implying that the Minutemen are killing them?
No.
Then why would you say such a thing?
My question is—
That's terrible, Amy. I mean, good Lord.
My question is when—
Let's answer one question. Has there ever been a single incident of violence recorded on the part of the Minutemen on the border?
I believe—
There has never been.
I'm not—haven't there been cases of immigrants who come over the border who have been chased, who have been shot at— Who have been.
That would be an incident
beaten.
Of violence. That would be an incident of violence, wouldn't it? To my knowledge, there has never been an incident of violence on the part of the Minutemen.
But the idea of armed men on the border, not authorized by the United States government.
Does it bother you that there are armed drug cartel members firing on law enforcement officers on the border, killing Mexican citizens, U.S. citizens? Does any of this bother you?
Absolutely.
I would hope to heck it bothers you. Why would the Minutemen even be under discussion by comparison to that issue?
Well, I'd just like to ask you one last question. We have very little time left. But you've criticized many American companies. But CJR, Columbia Journalism Review, came out with a report in 2004 that questioned that your private newsletter, which goes to investors, has recommended investing in several of these companies that
you
actually list.
I knew this would be a lot of fun with you two, but you're really ridiculous because I haven't had a newsletter for 3 years, partner.
No, but when
I shut down the newsletter.
But when your newsletter was operating, it was recommending some of the very companies that you were criticizing for outsourcing.
This is a very difficult thing for ideologues like you to contend with, that is balancing two concepts at the same time. But is there a correlation between investment in companies and a business practice that is absolutely pervasive in corporate America? Can you think of a single corporation in America that is not supporting outsourcing of jobs to overseas labor markets, cheap overseas labor markets?
We're going to have—
If you can name one, then I'll suggest to you that there was probably a problem with that. If you can't, then you know that it was utter nonsense and you shouldn't have brought it up.
Was it part of why you shut it down?
No, not really.
We're going to leave it there. Lou Dobbs, thank you very much for joining us. His book is Independence Day, Awakening the American Spirit, Democracy Now!, produced by Mike Burke, Shufa Kaduce, as well Nicole Salazar and Aaron Mate and Anjali Kamat and Jeffrey Hagerman, Steve Martinez, Ricardo Lobo, Kizzy Cox, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, engineers. Thanks to Media Matters. I'm in.